Matthew chapter 5. And over these weeks we're looking at the Beatitudes, which we are saying is an identical picture of the true believer, of those who are part of the kingdom of God. It's a magnificent sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, but we're just looking at these opening verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and beginning to read at the first verse. And seeing the multitudes, he that is the Lord Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. They opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his own infallible truth. Amen. In our world, meek men are usually written off as pathetic weaklings. The world's standards are that of aggressiveness, assertiveness, boldness, dominance. That's what real men are made of according to the standards of the world. But as we were saying last week, in these Beatitudes, the Lord Jesus Christ puts different values in just about everything. And he's the one we need to listen to. And our Lord Jesus Christ said this, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus was primarily speaking to Jewish people. They had long awaited for their Messiah, their deliverer, and their king. The majority of them had hoped that when the Messiah would come, he would lead them to political and to military might. They envisaged that he would deliver them from the hands of the Roman oppressors, and he would reap vengeance upon their enemies of old. So they're waiting in anticipation for their Messiah. They expected the Messiah to make them the master race, that they themselves would become rich and powerful and influential in all their endeavors. But here was their Messiah. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ standing in their very midst, answering every prophecy and every promise written about him. And his kingdom is like no other kingdom. His kingdom is not one of military might or political might. The kingdom of Christ is a spiritual kingdom. He said, My kingdom is not of this world. It's a kingdom within the hearts and minds of his people, a kingdom characterized by righteousness, holiness, truth, purity. His people are not to be aggressive and assertive and domineering. They're to be gentle, submissive, and meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I looked up the dictionary for meekness, and the Oxford Dictionary says this, piously humble and submissive, submitting tamely to injury. Submitting tamely to injury. That is not retaliating when it's natural for us to be aggressive and to seek vengeance. To be meek is to control our emotion and not to have fits of rage and fits of temper. We're to be meek. Years ago, and I mean years ago, maybe 40 years ago, I don't know, but I remember watching with interest a television program, and it was about JCB diggers and their drivers. And they were having a competition. And you know the JCB with the big bucket in the front? Well, they had the small bucket on, but nevertheless, there was these eggs on, like egg cups on a stanchion. And there were the eggs sat there. And the idea was that in turn, these JCB drivers were to come and come over each egg and hold it in the mouth of the digger. And then they were to take that raw egg and put it some distance behind them and set it down in receptacles that were just waiting to take the egg like the one that had left. It was a tremendous show of the skill of the drivers of the JCB diggers. You think of the power in those machines and the power in the mouth of that machine. And yet, the diggers were to control the strength, these things that could crush steel, to lift a raw egg without breaking it and taking it and setting it in another place. Friends, what a wonderful illustration of meekness. Controlled strength. So, though some of us are quicker to lose the rag than others, as the saying goes, and it's so easy for us when people harm us or hurt us or say things against us to retaliate, as Christians, we are commanded not to be fiery and ruthless in our dealings with others. We're expected to be meek and mild and gentle. Meekness is a show of spiritual grace. It's a show of spiritual strength. It's a show of spiritual beauty. To see a mild man, a meek man, is to see spiritual beauty. This meekness, I believe, is meekness to God, first of all. That we are in submission to his will in our lives. That we are to be flexible to his will in our lives at all times. We're submissive to him. But then it also includes showing meekness to man. The patient bearing of injuries toward us. The forgiveness of people who are cruel to us. Recompensing even good for evil. It's easy to speak about being meek. But it takes all the grace of God to be meek. Now, as we were looking last week, oh, there we are, our friend, the identical picture of the true believer. And so we add to this, blessed are the meek. But what I want to do is just remind you of these first three, the first two and what we're thinking of this morning. The first one of the Beatitudes is speaking about spiritual poverty. Remember, it's poor in spirit, and that's from that first Beatitude, all the others hang from it. These are spiritual conditions. The first commandment, we think about spiritual bankruptcy. We come as paupers. We have nothing to bring to God. We come as beggars seeking the mercy of God. That's how we enter into the kingdom. We're face to face with God. And then last Sunday evening, we're thinking of blessed are they that mourn. It's not necessarily mourning over the death of loved ones. It's mourning. It's a spiritual mourning. It's mourning in particular about my own sinning. I'm sinful. So in the second Beatitude, I'm face to face with myself. And I mourn day and daily my sinful state. But this third one, controlling our aggressions, we're face to face with others. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because there is nothing worth defending. I am a beggar before God, first beatitude. I am ashamed of my sinning, the second beatitude. Therefore, I am not going to be proud when others oppose me, the third beatitude. Now, don't get me wrong. There has to be a balance. As in all of Scripture, there has to be a balance. Christians are not to be pathetic, miserable wimps with no self-respect or no self-esteem, standing sniveling in some corner somewhere. There is a balance. Remember, the Beatitudes are the blessednesses, as it were. Happy, contented, joyful. Blessed are the meek. Friends, there are times when Scripture would ask us to be bold and defiant. We are to contend for the faith. We can't do that being meek. We are to contend at times for the faith. There are times we are to be as bold as lions. We are to put on the whole armor of God and to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But only for the glory of God are we to be strong and courageous and so forth. But in defense of ourselves, we need to be mild and meek and gentle. If we're defending the glory of God, we can be as stubborn and ruthless as we can be, but not guarding and protecting ourselves. You think of the martyrs, you think of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, and the many martyrs who have followed suit. They were courageous men, brave men, strong men and women. Courageous in proclaiming Christ and His glory. But as they went to the martyr's death, they were meek and mild about themselves. Matthew Henry puts it wonderfully well when he says, we are to be a lion in God's cause, but a lamb in our own cause. That's it. We're to be a lion in God's cause, but we must be a lamb in our own cause. A.W. Tozer said this, the meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his inferiority, but rather he may be as bold as a lion, as strong as Samson, but he has stopped being fooled about himself. Jeffrey B. Wilson, he says this, meekness is the mark of a man who has been mastered by God. His mildness to others is the fruit of that divine discipline which brought him to a true knowledge of himself. Meekness is the fruit of being mastered by God. Friends, the Scripture is full of men and women showing meekness one to another. Even think of the like of Abraham and Lot regarding the distributing of the fields. Abraham didn't take the high place and say, I want this field. And he says, look, Lot, you choose whatever fields you want. He was being submissive. He was being meek. He was being mild. You think of Joseph and his brethren, very important showing of meekness, isn't it? After his brothers despise him and he sold into slavery, and you know the story so well of Joseph. And when he met with his brothers again, there was no reprisal, there was no vengeance. He saw God in it all. He didn't stand up for himself. He said, listen, men, God meant it for good. You think of David with King Saul and those times when David could have killed Saul who saw David as his enemy, and he was ruthless against David. But David, as it were, turns the other cheek. And when he could have killed Saul, he lets him go. The Scripture tells us about that great man of meekness, Moses himself. There are so many examples of meekness in the Scriptures. But the outstanding example is not Moses, it is Christ. He's always our leading example. We were singing about him, meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. Oh, the glory of God, the glory of Christ, the wonder of who he is, and see him washing the disciples' feet. Oh, when we think of him, he said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In Matthew 21:5, he says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey. Oh, the humility, the meekness. You know, even in his death, death had no claim on him because he was sinless, and he had to become obedient unto death. He had to allow death to swallow him up. Meekness. There upon the cross, he could have called legions of angels. There on the cross. How's this for meekness? When men did their very worst to him, he cries, Father, forgive. Isn't that amazing? He's our example. And friends, there are so many challenges in Scripture for us to be meek Christians. Oh, to be strong for the Lord, but to be meek and mild when it comes to ourselves. Let me give you a good example. We could preach a full sermon or sermons in these two verses, in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. By the way, this is very interesting. When the Scripture very often mentions election or predestination and so forth, right beside it, it calls to holiness of life. Think that through when you're thinking these things through. Listen, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. What a verse, or two verses, Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Have a wee read of that before you come to your annual church business meeting. That's how we ought to behave in the house of the Lord. Take Titus chapter 3. And from verse 2, speak evil of no one, but be peaceable, gentle. It's the same word for meek. Showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared to us, etc., etc. We used to be that kind of people, but now that we are saved, we have got to be a different kind of people. A new name, a new nature, a new destiny. We should be seen to be different from the world. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, or a spirit of meekness, as is interpreted in other translations. When a man falls, we don't tramp him into the ground. We go knowing that we too are sinful, and we need to go with this spirit of gentleness or meekness. Then, of course, you've got the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, and you'll find meekness found in there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. We're commanded to be meek. It's one of the sweetest virtues in the Christian life. The meek man is a humble man. The meek man is a godly man. He does not retaliate or become envious of others. He doesn't lose his cool when he's provoked or criticized. He doesn't seek revenge. He's not vindictive of others. He acknowledges that the Lord is the potter and he is the clay. He is contented with his lot in life. The man who is meek is a man who's content. He's content with his even meager existence in this world. He is supremely contented in the person of Christ. Any retaliation he leaves to the Lord. He stands in the promise of Scripture, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. You know, whenever we think of the meek inheriting the earth, it's the desire of so many people to get as much of this world as they can, whether it's in riches or possessions or whether it's in military might and domination. There's the mighty men, the kings and dictators, fueled by their desire to inherit the earth. There are others who are, they think they're prudent men and they scheme and they scrimp and they save and they stand in the heads of others to get up to the ladder to get what they want out of life. They'll work the proverbial 2 minute silence. They want as much of this world as they can get for themselves. At best, man only borrows these things for the short while he's on the earth. The man who has military might is ever looking over his shoulder, waiting for an invasion of another army. The man who wants to get rich and have as much of the world as he can. He wants to inherit as much of the earth as he can, but he's never happy with what he's got. He always wants more. The world is a rat race in life. The hamster at the wheel, all the determination, the energy, but going nowhere. The ungodly are never, ever contented with anything they have in life. They always want more. The Lord Jesus asked the question that has no answer. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see, no matter what the ungodly have in this world, it'll never bring them satisfaction. Isaiah 57, verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The ungodly cannot fully enjoy this world in which we live. Never satisfied, never at peace, because they're at enmity with the creator of this world. The ungodly is living for himself. He sets his own utopia. And even when he gets this utopia, he's wanting more. But the man of God displays peace with God. And in his peace, he's at peace with God, he's at peace with himself, he's at peace with others. And he's content with what he has or with what he doesn't have. He's content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You show me a contented man and I'll show you a meek man. Like godliness with contentment is great gain. We enjoy the things that we have in this world. I've often walked my wife into some very expensive shops and I'll take her in and I'll show her all the expensive jewelry or the expensive furniture, all the expensive clothes that she can do without. It's a good exercise. I mean it. I'm serious. It's a good exercise to go in to somewhere and say, look at all these things that I don't need. Just be content with the things that you have. Just be content. You see, we read in that the meek shall inherit the earth. Only the child of God can really enjoy life. We read in the book of Corinthians in chapter 3, for all things are yours. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And when we're at peace with God and at peace in ourselves and peace with others, then, you know, we can really understand what it is that all things are yours and we can enjoy life upon this earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Philippians chapter 4 is a tremendous chapter, and from verse 4 we read this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness, that's the same word for meekness, let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. He's beside you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and this is so different from the natural man's take in the world. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things that the child of God thinks about. The things of the world that the child of God enjoys. I'm reading through the book of Proverbs just presently, and I love the book of Proverbs. I'm sure we all do. And again, we can see the difference between the ungodly and their use of the world and the righteous and their use of the world, as it were. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf and hatred. Better is a little righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Here's a cracker. Wait till you hear this one. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. The world looks at these men and their aggressiveness and the great leaders and the great fighters of the world. It's much better to control yourself and your emotions. Become meek before men, but strong for the Lord. Now, this world, of course, is a beautiful place, but we have to remember that this world is a fallen world. This world has been cursed by sin. But I think in this particular beatitude, it finds its greater fulfillment in a world yet to come. Blessed are the meek, for they, and in all of these beatitudes we'll see, it's they and they alone. Blessed, happy, contented, fulfilled. Blessed are the meek, for they and they alone shall inherit the earth. And there's a great future promise here. When this earth will be rejuvenated and made new. Romans chapter 8 from verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're talking about an inheritance here, inheriting the earth. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Peter tells us very clearly that this present earth, now cursed by sin, will dissolve in fervent heat. And the word of God has promised to us a new heaven and a new earth in which will dwell righteousness. And where the saints will reign forever and ever. We have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. Here's the bigger picture. We are meek on this earth, but we will inherit an earth that is eternal, where there's no more death or parting or sorrow or crying or any such thing. We will enter into the full joy of what it is to belong to Christ. All things are yours here in this world. We have a capacity to enjoy life here that the ungodly don't have. But oh, we will inherit in eternity the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness will dwell. I'll finish with this. The Puritan Thomas Watson, when he said, "The meek have the earth for their sojourning house, and they have heaven for their mansion house." Let me repeat that. The meek have the earth for their sojourning house, and they have heaven for their mansion house. Blessed are the meek, for they and they alone shall inherit the earth.